Good morning, Asbury United Methodist Church. We are so excited that you guys are here this morning. We are excited to share with you a new song that we have not done before, but for those of you who are K-Love listeners, you'll probably recognize it. The reason I chose this song was because last week during Ben's message, he was talking a lot about Moses and a lot about how he doesn't call the equipped, but he equips the called. And so this song just really spoke to me, and I just kind of want to, if everybody would stand up and join us with loud raised voices as we humble ourselves this morning and remind ourselves that we're just nobody without Jesus.
Chose me has always been a mystery. All my life I've been told I belong at the end of the line with all the other not quites, with all the never get it right. But it turns out they are the ones you were looking for all this time. Cause I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody all about somebody. Saved my soul. Ever since he rescued me, my heart's on the scene. I'm living for the world to see. Nobody but Jesus. Living for the world to see. Nobody but Jesus.
Moses had stage fright. David brought a rock to a sword fight. You picked 12 outsiders nobody would have chosen, and you changed the world. The moral of the story is every bad purpose. So when I hear that devil start talking to me, saying, why do you think you are?
I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, he gave my heart a song to sing. For the world to see, nobody but Jesus. Living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus.
So let me go down, down, down in history as another bright, faithful member of the family. And if they all forget my name, well, that's fine.
For the world to see, nobody but Jesus.
So let me go down, down, down in history,
history.
As another blind boy, faithful member of the family.
All I ever
and if they all forget my name, well, that's fine with me. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus.
All about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. Living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. For the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. I raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody. I raise a hallelujah. heaven comes to fight for me.
Sing out.
I'm gonna stay in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated, the King is alive.
Raise a hallelujah. With everything inside of me, I raise a hallelujah. I will watch the darkness flee. I raise a hallelujah in the middle of the mystery. I raise a hallelujah. Fear, you lost your hold on me.
Service. We are so glad you're here. We want to thank the praise band for stepping up and leading worship without Caleb, who got married yesterday. Yay! Something to celebrate. We're glad you're here. We want to point your attention to the corner in the back of the room. If your little ones get a little antsy, there are rocking chairs, there are soft toys. Feel free to take advantage of that. In a little while, the children ages 3 through 2nd grade will go to Kids Club. That's also a way to help you kind of relax and focus on the service. A few announcements that you need to be aware of. Stone Soup is happening this afternoon. We know it's going to be a busy day today, but we hope that some of you will still be available to go and help out down there. It's such an important ministry, and we are really honored to be a part of that. Also, Hog on the Hill is tonight at 4. A lot of you will be here earlier setting up. We're all really excited about that and looking forward to it. We hope you'll come and join us. Let's see, what else? There are other announcements on the back of your worship guide, so feel free to take a look at that to see what else is going on this week. And now let's stand and greet one another.
One last announcement, y'all. Next weekend, we're actually going to be throwing Caleb a wedding shower to celebrate his nuptials this weekend. It is going to be on Sunday. From 2 to 4 p.m. in the WAC. So, if you have time to attend Caleb's wedding shower next weekend from 2 to 4 on Sunday afternoon here in the WAC, that would be fantastic.
I I love the sound of God's people greeting one another. It's one of my favorite sounds in the world.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for a beautiful day. We thank you for changing seasons. We thank you for being with us. We pray that you will be honored and blessed as we sing praises to you. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.
Amen. To come forward for tithes and offerings now. And as they come forward, we're just going to say a blessing over the offering. So if y'all would bow your heads with me this morning. Father God, we thank you so much. We thank you so much for the gift of the presence of the people that are here. God, we know that we are nothing without you. We are nobody without Jesus. And we just want to pray over the offerings that are put in this basket this morning. God, we ask that you help us discern exactly how to use it for your purpose so that we can build your kingdom here at Asbury UMC. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You were the Word at the beginning, one with God, the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you, our Christ.
What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus.
You didn't want heaven without us. So Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater.
Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. Name it is. The name of Jesus.
The next lines are so powerful. I want to hear everybody in this room with their voices raised, because Jesus defeated the grave. Are y'all ready?
Death could not hold.
Loving God, your name is powerful. And we are bowed down to the glory of your love in our lives. The way in which your love can transform, the way in which your love convicts, the way in which your love can move us into a new way of being and doing in the world. Today we open ourselves up to your powerful presence among us. We ask that you indeed would be here, that we would hear your word proclaimed, that in the stirring of our hearts through the music this morning, that you would just continue to build that and to mix that until we become what you intend us to be. But Lord, we are aware that this worship is not all about us. It is about you. And so we pray that as we are open to the power of your Spirit, that we respond to you with joy and thanksgiving, that you too would be blessed, that you would see how much your children love you, how grateful we are, and how committed we are to telling others the good news of your grace and your love and your mercy in our lives and therefore in theirs. We pray today that Hog on the Hill and Stone Soup might be ways for us to share the love of Christ with others. That where we are shy about talking about Jesus, you would give us the words to say. You would loosen our tongues. That you would unleash that love and power in our lives. That people might truly hear the gospel or see the gospel at work or experience the gospel in real life. Through trunk or treat, through games that are played, just the way they're welcomed, the food that they eat, the very presence of on this hill this afternoon. God, we do pray for those in our congregation who are experiencing trouble and sorrow. We pray for Steve and Kelly as they mourn the loss of Steve's mom. We pray also for the family and friends of Jim Wilson. Such a long life lived in your service. We give you thanks for Caleb and Ashley and their new life together. And we are amazed at the work that you are doing to knit Joe Wilkerson's bones back together and restore him that he might continue the ministries that mean so very much to him. Lord, there is more today for us to pray for than we have time or even the words. But in this moment of silence, allow us to breathe in your grace. And sigh out those prayers that are deep, deep within us. That in the language of the Holy Spirit, all indeed will be known to you. And all that we need to know will be revealed. All of this we pray. In the name and the presence and in the joy of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, friends, hear these words from Romans, the 3rd chapter. I'm reading this morning from the Contemporary English Version of the Bible. And so I didn't bring the whole book in. I settled on just the passage. So hear these words. We know that everything in the law was written for those who are under its power. The law says these things to stop anyone from making excuses and to let God show that the whole world is guilty. God doesn't accept people simply because they obey the law. No, indeed, all that the law does is point out our sin. Now we see how God makes us acceptable to him. The law and the prophets tell how we became acceptable, and it isn't by obeying the law of Moses. For God treats everyone alike. He accepts people only because they have faith in Jesus Christ. All of us have sinned and fallen short of God's glory, but God treats us much better than we deserve. And because of Christ Jesus, he freely accepts us and sets us free from our sins. God sent Christ to be our sacrifice. God offered his life in his life's blood so that by faith in him we could come to God. And God did this to show that in the past he was right to be patient and forgive sinners. This also shows that God is right when he accepts people who have faith in Jesus. what is left for us to brag about? Not a thing. Is it because we obeyed some law? No. It's because of faith. We see that people are acceptable to God because they have faith and not because they obey the law. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, I don't know about you, but I found myself getting just slightly embarrassed this week during the endless news cycles of complaining on the one hand and bragging on the other. On the one hand, things aren't fair. People are being left out. Someone's done something wrong. Somebody else has been hurt. On the other, well, we seem to be caught in some game of one-upmanship. If it's not the biggest or the smartest or the newest or the most perfectest, then, well, it even happens at home. Earlier this week, I found our little ones faced off and screaming at each other. "I'm bigger," said one. "No, I'm the biggest," said the other. And back and forth it went in spite of my trying to break them apart until there was a push and a fall and tears and time out. Truthfully, so much competition and hyperbole and downright meanness, I think, is making all of us anxious and angry and just plain tired. The only comfort I really find is that none of this is really new. It's part of the human condition to always fear being less than, or even just ordinary. I mean, after all, who wants to be normal? Admitting that you're normal sounds like an excuse to be, well, just average, like everybody else. Now, the scripture claims that we are all unique and loved. Psalm 130 sings to God, who designed each and every one of us and knit us together in a particular way in our mother's wombs. God knows the number of hairs on our heads. God knows when we rise up and when we sit down. God knows our thoughts before we even think them. Yet Scripture also says that we are all the same in some very important ways. Paul summed it up today. We're all sinners. We've all fallen short of God's glory. We all need God's grace. And most importantly of all, we have all received that grace through God in Jesus Christ. Paul was writing to a troubled church in Rome. It seems that there was conflict about who were the best Christians in the church, or to put it better, maybe, who were the real Christians. You see, they were living through a time of adjustment. The Jews were coming back into the church. They had fled Rome during Claudius's persecution and had found safety in other parts of the empire. Many had been converted to Christianity before they returned back to Jerusalem. And the trouble started when they began to participate then in the home churches around the city. There was disagreement again and again over proper rituals and practice. You know, in the modern church, we think that we have the corner on worship wars. Oh no, it started back in Jerusalem. Some Jews still followed the Jewish calendar and participated in Jewish holidays, while Gentile Christians didn't think that was necessary and, in fact, wanted to name that as pagan. Many of them believed that the Jewish faith was unnecessary, while the Jews claimed it was still absolutely fundamental. Well, Paul wades into this conflict with a stern reminder that it is not the law, and therefore it is not one's history that makes us acceptable to God. God is free, and God has chosen freely to save us all. God treats us all the same, because in God's eyes, we truly are the same. Remember that about sin and needing saving? So God has reached down, reached out, and saved us. Not because we deserve it. Not because we have inherited it. Not because we earn it. But simply because God loves us and has chosen to do it. Now, my friends, that's the gospel in a nutshell. And it sounds so simple, doesn't it? But somehow it's got to sink from our heads to our hearts. That we've heard it all our lives. Secretly, I think most of us at the core of our being still believe we have to be worthy. We still try to measure up. We still think we can earn God's love. This is Reformation Sunday. And it's important for us to remember that way back in the 16th century, about 502 years ago, a man named Martin Luther had a spiritual awakening. He began to question the practice of what the church called indulgences. Now, indulgences were favors that could be bought by loved ones for their dead relatives. The church was teaching that when we die, most of us have sins that we had not had time to confess. We all die sinners, right? Come into the world naked, we go out, well, not naked, but we go out sinners just like we've lived our whole lives. No chance to confess. And so between heaven and earth, there's a kind of way station called purgatory. And in that way station, we wait for our living relatives and our living friends to say enough prayers that our sins that we had not had a chance to pray for forgiveness can be forgiven. Well, indulgences were sort of like bypasses to the hard work of prayer. So, if your relatives were rich, they could buy you enough indulgences to get you straight out of purgatory and all the way to heaven. But woe to the poor, or the lonely, or the orphan. Luther came to the realization that indulgences had nothing to do with the gospel of Jesus Christ. In fact, he began to argue that buying indulgences was turning grace into a commodity and salvation into a work. In other words, indulgences were replacing Jesus and Jesus' sacrifice on the cross with something that we could do for ourselves. And he became so convinced of the wrongness of this that he nailed a list of 95 statements to the door of the church in Wittenberg, Germany. And he challenged his fellow priests to debate him. Well, one thing led to another, and it went much further than Luther intended, for he's credited with starting the Reformation. a split in the church between Roman Catholicism and what is known as Protestantism. Protesters who stood up to say that grace alone is enough, that Christ cannot be paid back, and there is nothing that you and I could ever do to earn our salvation. All we can do is accept it. Try this image. When Jesus freely gave his life for us on the cross, his sacrifice satisfied all our debts, all our trespasses against God. We might think about it this way, that as he climbed onto the cross, he took with him each and every one of our names. And the blood washed over our names and cleansed us from our sin. And in the resurrection, he comes back and hands us our names again. But they are attached to a gift, a beautiful, free gift. The question for each of us is not whether we have the gift, but whether or not we'll accept it, knowing we don't deserve it, knowing that we can never offer anything even close to its worth. Will we simply receive it? Trust that it is ours and begin to live with the joy and the power and the benefits of the gift? That's how salvation works. And indeed, in accepting that gift, we are all changed. We can't go all the way back to the way we used to be. For in accepting the gift, we begin to live in response to the love of God and the salvation we have received. There was a man in England who lived in the late 1700s. And all of his life, he had been told that he was special, that he was chosen by God, and that God had a plan for him. And so he tried to be worthy of this plan that God had for his life. He tried to follow all of the rules of the church. He studied the Bible. He worked among the poor. And when he went off to school, he convinced some of his fellow college students to join him in creating a holy club. They committed to read their Bible every day, to pray the hours of the church, to fast, to give money to the poor. All of them eventually were ordained priests, but still that didn't seem enough. So he offered himself as a missionary to the American colonies to save the Indians from their fate. And my friends, he was a miserable failure as a missionary. He went back to England convinced that he did not deserve God's favor, questioning his calling and questioning the very narrative of his life, that perhaps he wasn't special, perhaps God did not have a plan for him. And then one night, he went to a prayer meeting that he really didn't want to attend. So he was late. You know that story, don't you? And the teacher was reading from the preface of Martin Luther's commentary on the book of Romans. And suddenly it made sense to him. His failures didn't matter. He was never going to earn God's love because God's love is free. And that Jesus had indeed died for his sins. And not his only, but for the sins of the whole world. And that faith in God's action in Jesus Christ, believing that God had done that, was what made him worthy of his calling. Now, by now, I hope most of you know who the man I'm talking about is. It was John Wesley, the founder of Methodism. And his understanding of grace, born from that night in a prayer meeting he didn't want to attend, at a time in his life when he was utterly depressed and lost, has changed the lives of millions, you and me included. And what Wesley has offered to the general church, to the worldwide church, is a deep understanding of grace. That now, even Roman Catholics talk about, and Lutherans talk about, Eastern Orthodox brothers and sisters talk about, and Methodists celebrate. We don't have to be better. We don't even have to be as good as. All we have to be is willing to admit that we're sinners, that we need God's love to set us right, and that we know that it is Jesus who has done that work. Then we can experience freedom. Then we have the power in us to change the world. And even more, we have the good news to change the life of a neighbor or a friend or an acquaintance because we are free. Brothers and sisters, the good news today is that there are no comparisons in Jesus. We can stop worrying about being anything more than ordinary. You're enough. You are really enough. I'm enough. Enough for God to love. Enough for Jesus to give his life. Enough for God to send out into the world and tell others. You want to brag? Brag on Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. As the band makes their way back up, I just want to take a moment to invite you. If you have experienced a fresh sense of God's love for you this day, if you've heard, like Wesley did, the truth that you really are enough, and you want to celebrate that and accept the love of Christ that is yours and commit yourself to him, or perhaps to commit yourself to this church where we try to grow in that love and share that love and share the good news, then I would invite you to come forward for prayer. I'd be glad to pray with you. If you just open your hands, I'll know that you want to have prayer with you. Otherwise, you'll be left alone at the altar for your own time. But let's stand and join together for a time of prayer and commitment.
Darkness tries to roll over my bones. When sorrow comes to steal the joy I own. When brokenness and pain's all I know, I won't be shaken. Oh, I won't be shaken. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. Has a place to hide, and I am not a captive to a lie. I'm not afraid to leave my past behind. I won't be shaken. No, I won't be shaken. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. Doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. This power that can break off every chain, this power that can empty out of grace. Resurrection power that can save, power in your name, power in your name. Power that can break off every chain, power that can empty out a grave. Resurrection power that can save, power in your name.
Our praise band again this morning. It was great. Jen, thank you for your extra work this week. In addition to taking Caleb's spot and kind of helping to coordinate things with the rest of the band, Jen is kind of helping to coordinate all the trunk or treat. And so it's a busy day, but I know Hannah has got her hands full with desserts, and I can't even begin to name everybody. So please pray for Dave Morano, who has double pneumonia and plans on coming up here this afternoon to help get set up for Hog on the Hill. So we're going to give Dave 30 minutes and send him back home. All right? Y'all agree with that, amen?
Amen.
It's a great day. It's a great day to be a follower of Jesus Christ. It's a great day to be a member of Asbury United Methodist Church. It's a great day to be a visitor and a guest here in this congregation. A couple of great opportunities again: Stone Soup down at Quapaw Quarter at 1 o'clock, or about 2 o'clock if you want to show back up here. There's a lot to get ready for Hog on the Hill. Everybody's needed, everybody's wanted. Next Saturday, correct?
Sunday.
How did I get Saturday? Next Sunday, 2 to 4, drop-in shower for Caleb and Ashley. If you've already given a gift in the box, be sure to know that those will get to them during the shower from Staff Parish and from the rest of us who love them.
If you're coming back for Hog on the Hill, just know that the parking lot is being blocked off at 2. So you'll have to go to the spillover lot. I just wanted to...
Yeah, that bottom lot over there. You know the drill. All right, we'll receive this benediction. Go forth with the assurance that you are enough, that it's okay to be ordinary, Because in your ordinariness, God has the power to give you extraordinary gifts and to make an extraordinary difference in your life, in the life of the world, and in the life of the person with whom you come in contact each and every moment. What more could we ask for? So go in peace. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.